Welcome to the KMUD Weekend News. I'm your news director, April Lewis, and I'm glad to be with you for this broadcast. On this episode, we'll have in-depth coverage on Red Way's Family Resource Center receiving an award, a Navarro man accused of human trafficking and running an illegal cannabis operation, and Ray Hamill has this week's sports report. But first, a rundown of today's top stories and headlines. This is KMUD News. First, a piece of news from us. Do you want to be part of creating the news? KMUD News is hiring an assistant director. This is a hands-on role, both as a reporter and helping craft our broadcast. Candidates currently working as journalists will be highly considered. This is a hybrid role requiring in-person work at our studios in Red Way. A more formal ad, including pay scale, will be posted next week. To apply for the position of assistant director, please send a cover letter and resume to april@kmud.org. In Humboldt County, according to scanner traffic this morning, Friday, May 8th, a 37-year-old man was sprayed with bear mace by his brother in Rio Dell. The incident occurred near the intersection of First Avenue and Elko Street, close to the Chevron station. Medical response was determined not to be needed, but additional victims sprayed with bear mace were also found in the area. The suspect has since been arrested. The California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection Mendocino Unit will be conducting a vegetation management prescribed burn on the Shamrock Ranch. This prescribed burn will treat approximately 300 acres of grass and understory vegetation within oak woodlands and mixed conifer habitats, creating a mosaic of variously burned vegetation and islands of unburned habitat. The Shamrock Ranch is in the northern portion of Mendocino County, east of Highway 101 and southeast of the town of Laytonville. Burning will begin on Tuesday, May 11th, and continue intermittently as favorable weather conditions present themselves, but end no later than Monday, June 1st. Burning will start at approximately 8 a.m. and conclude at approximately 3 p.m. daily. The Eureka Police Department will conduct a DUI and driver's license checkpoint on Friday, May 8th, between the hours of 6 p.m. and midnight at a location within the Eureka city limits. The checkpoint location will not be announced in advance. Motorists passing through the checkpoint this evening, May 8th, in Eureka can expect brief contact with officers, vehicles stopped in a systematic neutral pattern, DUI evaluations when signs of impairment are observed, and minimal delays for compliant drivers. Funding for the checkpoint was provided by the California Highway Patrol through the Cannabis Tax Fund Grant Program. A good reminder to always have a sober driver. Moving on to our main stories, starting with the KMUD News return of journalist Lisa Music. The Mendocino County Sheriff's Office says a victim was held against their will and forced to work at an illegal Navarro cannabis operation for 2 years, leading to a search warrant. A major grow seizure and human trafficking charges against subject Jesse Upton. Lisa Music reports.
A Navarro man is under investigation after sheriff's deputies say they found a person who had been held against their will and forced to work at an illegal cannabis operation for roughly 2 years. The Mendocino County Sheriff's Office served a search warrant at the property on May 4th. Investigators say the victim was housed without pay, adequate food, or bathroom access, and was physically assaulted to prevent them from leaving. Suspect Jesse Upton faces charges including human trafficking for forced labor, illegal cannabis cultivation, manufacturing a controlled substance, possession of cannabis for sale, and assault with a deadly weapon. The case has been referred to the Mendocino County District Attorney. Deputies found more than 300 cannabis plants and over 600 pounds of processed cannabis packaged for sale on the property. They also found a butane honey oil extraction lab with more than 240 gallons of butane, an operation that is a felony under California law. Investigators also documented serious environmental damage, including fertilizers, fuel, and chemical waste scattered across steep terrain above the Navarro River watershed, with no containment measures in place. The victim has been connected with support services through the Northern California Coalition to Safeguard Communities, a 5-county partnership focused on human trafficking at illegal cannabis sites. The coalition, funded by the Howard G. Buffett Foundation, awarded Mendocino County Sheriff's Office more than $170,000 in 2025, with an application pending for over $250,000 for this year. The funding reflects a broader shift in how law enforcement approaches illegal grow operations. Where workers were once routinely arrested, investigators are now focused on identifying who may be a victim. Jesse Upton has not been convicted of any crime and should be presumed innocent unless and until proven guilty. Anyone with information is asked to call the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office at 707-463-4086. Anonymous tips can be left at 707-234-2100. Reporting for KMUN News, I'm Lisa Music.
Amy Taronis is the director of the Family Resource Center, a nonprofit entity located on the campus of Redway Elementary in Humboldt County and funded in great part by the Southern Humboldt Community Health District. Recently, the center received recognition, receiving the 2026 Children's First Award from the Child Abuse Prevention Council of Humboldt County. We spoke with Amy on the center's work and what the award means to her.
Yeah, I'd love to know a little more about the Family Resource Center and exactly what it's looking to offer the community and offers the community.
Absolutely. So the Family Resource Center is a nonprofit. We are on the backside of the Redway Elementary School campus. There's a lot of moving parts, I suppose I could say. Our fiscal sponsor is Soham Health, but we partner real closely with our school district, hence being on the school campus. Most of our services are for school-aged children and families. We offer basic needs, referrals, and resources to other nonprofits or different service opportunities. And we house and collaborate and coordinate with other nonprofits and service providers in our area to bring services down to Southern Humboldt from Northern Humboldt. Services such as parenting classes, food support, drug and alcohol education, and counseling. And then we connect and collaborate with Redwood Rural and with First Five and a bunch of other nonprofits just to, again, bring more services down to Southern Humboldt.
Well, thank you for that. And also for explaining just how the funding and organization works. I didn't quite understand, so I really appreciated that clarification.
It is very confusing. And most people don't know, how we're affiliated with Soham Health, or most people just kind of assume that we're school-based school employees because we're on the school campus. And majority of our funding is DHHS grants and different local grants. And so our services change throughout the years depending on what grants are funded or what grant opportunities come across for us. We're pretty consistent with our First Five funding. And so our First Five funding allows us to have our Redway playgroup and our Shelter Cove playgroup. Piper Keener is our playgroup coordinator, so she runs both of those playgroups, and then she also works with families 0 to 5 to get special beginnings, special services for kids who may have been not meeting, their milestones developmentally, or maybe they've been diagnosed with any type of developmental delay. And so there's quite a few services up north, but it's kind of hard to reach out, get a hold, figure it out. And so she works with families and walks families through that process. And then our goal consistently is always to bring those services like Redwood Coast Regional Services down here to Southern Humboldt. And so families, instead of driving all the way up to Eureka, they can drive here to Redway, and then those service providers meet them here in our office. And so it creates kind of a hub here at the Family Resource Center as well for services such as Redwood Coast Regional Services for 0 to 5 year olds.
You know, what does it mean to win the Children First Award from the Child Abuse Prevention Coordinating Council, and how did your organization achieve this distinction?
It means a lot, and I think that prevention often gets overlooked. It's when funding gets cut and things are tight, prevention is usually the first thing that gets funding cut because it doesn't have tangible or visible procedures such as intervention. So, intervention's easy. It's an identified issue. It's an identified treatment plan, if you will. But prevention is universal. And when prevention is done well, it's almost unnoticeable. The award around prevention, I think, is, to me, really important because it impacts every one of our families, every one of our community members. For instance, we put community events together and coordinate events, and we have them open to the entire public. We just had a Touch a Truck event that had a bunch of our nonprofit tablers. We had our emergency services and volunteer fire departments and other people with logging trucks and fun trucks that kids can come and explore. And it seems so simple, you know, a community event. But when we think about it, we're bringing families together for something that's definitely fun and across the ages, providing a free meal. There's other resources and other opportunities that may have come up. So, you know, it might be a preteen or a middle school student, and they're, you know, here with the family, probably begrudgingly. but maybe they have an experience watching the volunteer fire departments, you know, do what they do, and it inspires them to maybe think about themselves being a fireman. You know, that's such a simple idea, but we think about that. And that alone, just that kid having a little, you know, glimpse into their own future, maybe having a little motivation to do something different, that alone could prevent all sorts of things. You know, it could prevent truancy because now the kid kind of has an option at the end of the, you know, senior year. Or maybe it prevents substance use because the kid sees themselves as, you know, having a future. There's all sorts of things that can happen. And again, it doesn't always get recognized. A family having a free meal, a nutritious meal, and having, you know, a good time together, that alone prevents child abuse. Parents have less stress. We know that, you know, less stressed out parents are less likely to abuse children. So it's just kind of a very simple idea, but it also is oftentimes under the radar. So this award really is something that I appreciate because it is something that recognizes the universal idea around prevention.
Amy then spoke on which programs have created real lasting impacts in the community and that she hopes could be expanded in the future.
Currently, we have a Prop 64 cannabis tax grant that allows us to have a substance use diversion grant for our youth. And so students, they are, rather than being suspended from school, middle school, high school, they are rerouted into our diversion program. And the counselor gets to meet with them one-on-one for a couple of weeks. They come up with some different goals. They, you know, have some insights around their own use and choices. And she's pretty busy, as you can imagine, but she also works with the families. That's something that we just finished our grant for the next cycle, and I'm really hoping that we can get that because I think that's extremely impactful for our youth. This is our fourth year with that grant. It's a five-year cycle, and it's really, I feel like it's probably one of the best things our youth are receiving that need it. And at this point, we have youth that self-refer themselves, so we know, I mean, to me, that just is like an indicator that it's going well. I'd love to see that kind of expand. We do work with our food resources, and I think that, you know, so far, so good. I'm hoping we can keep up working with our Food for People, provide weekly food bags and food support for families, and as we all know, with everything getting more and more ridiculously expensive, covering some of our basics as far as, you know, weekly food support, gas card support, if, you know, that few and far between as far as gas support, but sometimes just having a couple, you know, gas cards so families can get up north is imperative, especially with food prices down here and whatnot. There's so much need in this community for therapeutic intervention, and you know, we could go in so many different directions as far as who and how to support. But yeah, just a lot more support for our youth and more community events to bring people together is so important.
We thank Amy Taronis and the Family Resource Center for their efforts helping youth in Southern Humboldt and congratulate them on their award. If you would like to get in touch with the center, go to sohumhealth.org/FRC or call 707-923-1147. Reporting for KMUD, I'm April Lewis. In this week's KMUD News Sports Report, Ray Hamill brings us details of which local teams won a conference title in HDNL baseball and softball this week, as well as taking a look ahead to next week's big HDNL postseason tournaments in baseball and softball, along with some golf updates, why this is a big week for Cal Poly Humboldt softball, and why this weekend will be an important one for HDNL track and field athletes.
Three HDNL teams were crowned outright conference champions in baseball and softball this week, including the South Fork Cubs, who were enjoying their most impressive run in conference action in several decades. Hello and welcome to this week's KMUD News Sports Report. I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com. We'll have more on the Cubs and the other HDNL championship teams in just a moment, as we take a look at all of the big local sports stories of the week, including all the latest high school baseball and softball news, a look ahead to next week's Charles Lakin tournament, news of why it was a big week for the Cal Poly Humboldt softball team, some high school golf news, and why this weekend will be an important one for the HDNL track and field athletes. But first up, the South Fork girls continued their most impressive run in the Little Four in 3.5 decades by clinching a second straight outright Little Four softball championship this week. The impressive Cubs traveled to Ferndale for a conference concluding doubleheader on Tuesday and split, taking Game 1 7-1 before dropping Game 2 5-4. But that was enough to secure a second title outright, 1 year after the team ended a 35-year wait to win a conference championship. Head coach Lisa Todd and her players closed out the Little Four with a record of 10-2 and edged Hoopa by just one win in the race for the pennant. The Warriors also closed out conference play on Tuesday, traveling to the Bear River Sports Complex to play St. Bernard's and sweeping a doubleheader, winning 7-4 and 7-3. The Hoopa girls also swept a doubleheader at Trinity on Wednesday, stretching their winning streak to 6 straight and improving to 17-7 overall. It was also a good week for the McKinleyville Panthers, who secured outright Big 5 championships in baseball and softball with victories over Arcata on Wednesday. In softball, the Panthers claimed at least a share of the conference title after splitting a doubleheader against Del Norte on Saturday, but needed one more victory to win the pennant outright, and the players delivered with a 10-1 win over Arcata on Wednesday. Also in Big 5 softball on Wednesday, the Del Norte girls closed out with a 9-7 win over Eureka in Crescent City. The race for this year's Big 5 championship was one of the most exciting in several years, with just 3 wins separating the top 4 teams in the final standings. Fortuna, which swept the doubleheader against Arcata on Saturday, closed out with a record of 8-4 and finished second behind the 9-3 Panthers, with the 7-5 Del Norte girls in third and 6-6 Eureka in fourth. Arcata closed out 0-12. The top 3 teams, McKinleyville, Fortuna, and Del Norte, will all advance to next week's HDN postseason Charles Lakin tournament, while Eureka must play the waiting game and see if an overall record of 9-12 is good enough to qualify for the North Coast Section playoffs, with the brackets set to be announced a week from Sunday. In Big 5 baseball, McKinleyville rallied for a come-from-behind 9-2 win over Arcata on Wednesday to clinch this year's conference title outright. Like the school's softball team, the McKinleyville boys also came into Wednesday's conference finale, having already clinched at least a share of the title after sweeping a doubleheader against Del Norte on Saturday. But, according to head coach Mike Dobrik, the players were hungry to clinch the championship outright, and they delivered with a gutsy performance against the Tigers, despite trailing for the opening 3 innings. With the victory, they closed out conference play with a record of 11-1 and are now 20-2 overall. They needed to win on Wednesday Wednesday, with second-placed Eureka pushing them all the way in the race for the championship. The Loggers, who lost two games to McKinleyville earlier in the campaign, won 4-0 at Del Norte in their final game and closed out 10-2, just one win behind the champions. Wednesday's victory was the seventh straight for Eureka, which receives a number 2 seed for next week's Lakin tournament. Del Norte placed third in the Big 5 with a record of 6-6, followed by Arcata at 3-9 and Fortuna at 0-12. The Tigers swept the doubleheader at Fortuna on Saturday, winning 3-2 and 13-2. And it was a special day for two of their players in particular. Senior Tanner Keyes and his freshman brother Rylan Keyes got the two wins on the mound, giving the siblings the rare achievement of winning for the same team on the same day. In Little Four baseball, meanwhile, conference champions St. Bernard's continued to roll with a 9-0 win over Hoopa on Tuesday, improving to 11-0 in conference and 20-2 on the season. The Ferndale Wildcats also won on Tuesday, beating South Fork 10-0 and improving to 7-4 in conference and 15-4 overall. The Wildcats, whose four losses this spring have all come against St. Bernard's, placed second in the Little Four, followed by South Fork in third and Hoopa in fourth. The top three baseball and softball teams in both the Big Five and Little Four will advance to next week's HDN postseason Charles Lakin tournament, which gets underway on Tuesday afternoon in Arcata. This year's tournaments feature a couple of notable changes. The baseball tournament returns to the Arcata ballpark this year after it was played at Bilotti Field in Eureka a year ago due to the construction that was taking place at the Arcata ballpark. The softball tournament will take place around the corner at the Arcata Sports Complex. Opening day in both tournaments will feature the 2 and 3 seeds from all four conferences, with the four conference champions opening in the semi-final rounds on Thursday. Both championship games will take place on Friday. The softball final has been moved up to 3:30 p.m. because of a scheduling conflict at the Arcata Sports Complex later in the day, with the baseball final taking place under the lights at the Arcata Ballpark and starting at 7 p.m. Switching gears, it was a good week for the Cal Poly Humboldt softball team, which split a four-game series at Stanislaus State last weekend to punch its ticket to the conference postseason tournament. The CCAA tournament got underway on Wednesday and will run through Saturday, and this is the first time the Jacks have qualified since 2017. In local high school golf, meanwhile, the Arcata Tigers claimed this year's HDNL team championship and also took home the individual title. The league season closed out at the Eureka Municipal Golf Course late last week, and Arcata senior Ryzen Miller was crowned champion, edging freshman teammate Matisse Stuan by just 4 strokes over the 6 rounds of league play. And rounding out another busy week in local sports, this weekend will be an important one for the HDNL track and field athletes. The 2026 League Championships will take place at Del Norte High School on Saturday before the league athletes turn their attention to 2 weekends of North Coast section meets. And that's this week's KMUD News Sports Report. Until next time, I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com.
Next, from our friends at KPFA, we have a story from Kennedy Cuello on HondurasGate, a scandal that links Trump, Honduras, and Israel in a plot to destabilize progressive governments in Latin America.
Audio recordings published by HondurasGate, a collaboration with Canal Red Latin America, reveal President Donald Trump's pardon of former Honduran President Juan Orlando Hernandez was financed by Israel as part of a larger plot to destabilize liberal governments in Latin America. One such recording is a voice note dated March
14th, 2026.
I'm going to start naming those who are obstructing my entire process of returning to Honduras. I even got them contacts at the oil companies. I got them contacts at the businesses. I got them everything. And they're not even stirring up trouble for me. Not a single clue about the whole situation I requested. The money for the pardon, you all don't know, came from a group of rabbis and people who supported Israel.
In another, Orlando Hernandez says Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is entirely behind the financing and negotiation of his pardon. Following the pardon, recordings indicate he will return to the presidency with backing by Trump and funding from Israel, and will allow the United States to build a military base in the country. Current President Nasri Asfura, who said he had no connections to Hernandez, is also implicated in the recordings, several times suggesting Trump and Hernandez are in control.
Presidente, buenas tardes.
Mr. President, good afternoon. Greetings. I'm asking about my case, if you have any updates, if you have anything you can share with me to see if there has been any progress with the Supreme Court of Justice. I want to believe that you won't sideline me because, thanks to me, you are sitting in that chair. I will be the president, and I expect your support because that is what we discussed with President Trump.
The plan does not stop at Honduras. Another Canal Red investigation, along with the released recordings, reveal a plan to destabilize the leftist governments of Mexico, Brazil, and Colombia. This would be done through a disinformation campaign, allegedly funded by Argentinian President Javier Milei. El País publication is also reporting a U.S.-based digital media operation would help spread anti-left propaganda. The purpose? To give the global right more control and access to the region.
We had spoken. I had sent you word that we were going to win and that I needed their support at this time. The presidency needs to return to the right hands, and that's what President Donald Trump wants. If they're going to go against him, I'll announce it immediately and their entire government will collapse.
In addition to a new military base, Orlando Hernandez would expand the semi-autonomous Ziri zones. In the name of economic development, these areas have little to no taxation and minimal government interference. One area is called Prospera. Billionaires like Peter Thiel, a founder of technology giant and war profiteer, Plantier, have heavily invested in these private cities. Honduras would also be home to major AI and infrastructure contracts tied to U.S.-linked companies, according to reports by DropSite News. The recordings do not clearly delineate which concessions are assigned to which actor, but frame them as part of a joint U.S. and Israel-aligned agenda in the country and broader region by any means necessary. In multiple calls to President of the National Congress, Thomas Zambrano, the pardoned drug trafficker and former president, calls for violence against political adversaries.
Listen, Honduras needs strength. It needs logistics. It needs blood. If you want to keep people controlled, you need to oppress them, squeeze them, counter violence by generating violence. That's what President Trump says. And I'll have you believe and assume that he will be there forever. How? I don't know. But I will have you believe and assume that. Trust me. And you won't be soft. Don't touch your heart. You won't be soft. Otherwise, you can't do the job. Pablo Escobar said that there.
Some of the recordings were obtained through Telegram channels. Orlando Hernandez has dismissed the reports, calling them part of a campaign of disinformation by the radical left, and insisting the voice in the videos is not his. But the growing reports in Latin America from established media like El País suggest there's more truth than fiction to the story. For KPFA News, I'm Kennedy Cuello.
That's all for our news broadcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our rotation of broadcast engineers, Michael McCaskill, Dennis Marr, Katie Phillips, Biana Federico, Larry Lashley, and Javier Rodriguez. Also thanks to our reporter for this broadcast, Lisa Music. KMUD News is online. You can find us at kmud.org. And now streaming on podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening. You can also follow us on social media at KMUD News, including Facebook and Instagram. Do you have issues important to you that deserve more attention? Are there stories we're missing or that you're curious about? You can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmud.org. Redwood Community Radio Incorporated is funded by Press Forward, the national movement to strengthen communities by reinvigorating local news. Learn more at pressforward.news. Redwood Community Radio acknowledges that its transmitter sites are located on the unceded territory of the Sikyone, Wailaki, Wiyut, Wilkut, and Kato people. We honor ancestors past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the ongoing cultural, spiritual, and physical connection that these tribes have to the region. I'm April Lewis. Stay tuned in.